This is the word of God, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then if you'll turn to Genesis 12, 1 through 5, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and he set out for the land of Canaan and arrived there. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you have heard the term first-time obedience? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Yeah, okay, we got a few. If you've heard that term, you are either a serious parent or you are the child of a serious parent. I first came into contact with this term after we had had our first child and we were getting some parent training out of the scriptures, and the term first-time obedience, it's code for when we tell you to do something, you do it right away. We don't keep coming back saying, no, really, I want you to do this. We don't come back the fourth time and say, no, really, you really need to get around to doing this. I'm the parent, you're the child. I tell you, you obey the first time. And there's an old saying that goes, delayed obedience can be disobedience. To not do it. To wait can turn into not doing it. To wait can turn into doing it at a time when it is not when it needs to be done. Delayed obedience can be a form of disobedience. And here's the thing. God is into first-time obedience. The problem is, we're not. In our relationship with God, we struggle with trusting what God says and simply, in faith, believing that it is right, and stepping out and obeying the Lord God. And that is precisely why Abraham challenges us so greatly, particularly those of us who want to lead in God's church, because God came to him. God said, I want you to leave, and I want you to leave now. And he obeyed. And he did. There are three aspects of a kind of progression of faith here that I'd like to share with you from this passage, and I think they're important to anyone who would be a leader of God's people. They are, God is saying, step out, believe the unbelievable, and bless the world. Let me say that again. Step out, believe the unbelievable, and bless the world. Well, God is calling Abram to step out. The Lord said to him, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. Now, I think it might be helpful to actually define what faith is. You know, in Hebrews 11, the first verse has a definition of what faith is. And I'd like to give you maybe a really something that would maybe be helpful to you in your life as you go forward. That faith is simply believing and acting on the Word of God. That's what it is. It is believing and acting on the Word of God regardless of the circumstances or the consequences. Meaning, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what acting on the Word of God will mean, the consequences that will come, if God has said it, if God says do it or don't do it, we need to obey Him. And that is faith. That is precisely why faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, because it's rooted in the Word of God. That's why we have faith in it, because it comes from God. It is God's word. We believe God's word, and we act on God's word, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the consequences. That's what Abraham did. We read in Joshua 24:2 that Abraham was raised by his father, Terah. Joshua says, across the river where his father worshipped other gods. We know that Terah was an idolater and that Abraham was raised in a belief system that had to do with appeasement of gods, small g gods, which had to do with lots of responsibility, lots of works toward gaining some kind of a relationship. A very fear-oriented faith, fear-oriented religion, but there's lots of works in the way Abraham was raised in his view of God. And suddenly, the real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh God, appears to Abraham, and just completely different from his training, Abraham simply believed and gained a relationship with God. We read in Romans 4:3, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Totally counterintuitive to everything he learned. He came into a real relationship with God, not through works, but through belief. And it is in a relationship with God that the Lord has something wonderful in mind for Abraham. And something wonderful that he wants to do through Abraham. But what we learn in Hebrews 11:8 and in Genesis 12:1-4 simply is this. We find that he is going to have to step out in order to receive it. That there's going to be some faith, there's going to be some obedience associated with God blessing him and other people through him. Now, Abraham was living comfortably in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. The Chaldeans, as you know, that's later is where the Babylonians are going to come from. And if you do a little research on the city of Ur, you know, there are archaeological remains of Ur to this day. What we know is that it was a very modern city for that time, that it was a wealthy city, that there were schools in Ur, that there was actually a justice system that would actually protect people in Ur. You know, Abraham, I'll just go with Abraham if you don't mind. Abraham had just bought the house, the dream house at the top of the cul-de-sac in Ur. And God says, I want you to leave it. I want you to leave it now. I want you to go. You know, I've heard people talk about this passage, and they always, and I, not always, but often, they do take us into the living room of Abraham and Sarah, and we imagine what it must have been like to tell his wife what God had just told him. We're going to move, honey. When are we going to move? Right away. What do you think the next question is? Where are we going? Let me get back to you on that one. We're going out. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to go out there and we're going to pack it up. We're going to go out there. We're going to pack everybody up. And when God wants us to stop, he will let us know when we are there. And we have no idea what Sarah said in response to Abraham. It's probably good that we don't know what Sarah said in response to Abraham. But we do know this, that she supported her husband. And I would just say parenthetically that these wives of preachers often find themselves in that role, honey. God wants us to move. And I believe that this is where God wants us to go. And do we not honor these women like Sarah who believe and trust in the walk with God that Abraham have and trust? It's a wonderful thing. But so Mr. First Time Obedience packs it up. And he is striking out into the unknown. Verse 4, so Abram left, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went also with him. Abram was 75 years old. Talk about a second career. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated, the people that they acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan and arrived there. We might ask, what does this have to do with you and me? We'll get to the main storyline here in a moment, but I tell you, what it has to do with me and you, other than the main point of the passage, is that God wants us to obey him. And it requires faith and a belief that God is right and that his intentions are good and to glorify him is best. It requires trust. It requires faith. And so I would ask you a couple of questions this morning. As you are preparing for ministry, what is it right now? Let me just bring it on down. What is it right now that you know in your heart that God wants you to do? And you're not doing it. Or what is it right now that God wants you to stop doing? But you're not sure if you want to. Translated, what is the current barrier of faith that you have as a leader that is coming on to lead God's people, and you do understand what God wants you to do or stop doing? Will you obey God? That's what Abraham was called to do. Step out, obey, break through the barrier. I know it sounds funny. I know it's weird to pack it up and leave and not even know where you're going. It doesn't matter. This is what God wants me to do. Secondly, is to believe the unbelievable. God says to Abraham at age 75, a great nation is going to come from you. Implying, even maybe at this point, that there are going to be children from Abraham and Sarah. That story will emerge later in Genesis 12, 15, and 17. We're going to see this covenant with Abraham take on more and more particulars and be rounded out. But right now, he's at the beginning. He's 75 years old. And he not only is being called to step out and to leave, he's being called to believe the unbelievable, that something greater than he could have imagined, something greater than he right now knows how it could happen, is going to happen, but it's going to happen out there. It's not going to happen if you stay in Ur of the Chaldees or in Haran, and that's where he left Terah, if you know the story. We got to believe the unbelievable. Verse 2, I will make a great nation out of you, and I will bless you. Basically, maybe he's saying to Sarah, here's what I know. We're going to move out there, because there's something great that God wants to do out there. And so we're going, and we're going to believe in something bigger, because this is God who is speaking. And God, sure enough, is drawing Abraham out to do something unique and powerful through him. You know, God wants us to step out. And let me just encourage you. I remember being sitting right there, the students, I mean, sitting right there in the pews, you know, wondering, Lord, who am I going to be? You know, what am I going to do? Help me understand that. Help me to learn. And I just want to encourage you, because the Lord wants you to follow him. He wants you to step out and walk with him in that relationship by faith, because he wants to do something unique and powerful through you with the gospel. Now, what an incredible calling we have. The power of God unto salvation for you and through me. Yes, he is calling you, and he wants for something to happen through your life that's bigger than you can make happen. And we're caught up in something so much bigger and greater that will glorify God, but it involves stepping out. It involves walking with God, obeying him by faith, and beginning to believe that there is something greater, that to believe that in our lives and in our churches, to believe the unbelievable. And the Lord simply does not want his children to be limited by what is going on around them. We are not bound. We are in the culture, but we are not informed solely by what everybody else is doing, what everybody else expects, what everybody else who does not have faith feels like should happen or ought to happen. That means nothing to God's leaders in his church, because we follow God. And when you follow God, we do his bidding, and what he wants to do is often different and looks different than the way it might look around us. And that even goes for the seminary, right, at the culture right here in the seminary. You keep walking with God. You keep seeking God. You keep asking the Lord to direct you. And it's amazing what God will do. He wants us to see that living by faith, He can do great things beyond what we can imagine. And you know, the truth is, we're just really finite in our thinking. Maybe a way to put it is this, is that we can't see what God's going to do seven steps down the way. See, we often want to know it all on the front end. We want to know everything, whether we can decide whether we're going to do it. And we want all the resources on the front end so we can decide whether it's going to work out or not. It does not work that way with Yahweh God. The just, the righteous, will live by faith. We don't live by sight. We must live by faith, and God's leaders have to live by faith. It is uncomfortable, but it is terribly exciting because it brings us out of simply what we might think into areas of possibility of what God wants to do. 3, 4, 5, 6 steps down the way, you see. It's usually later down the road that God begins to give a sharper picture of what He wants, not on the front end. I will tell you, from 25 years of being a pastor, it is later down the road that we, of faith, that we begin to see the resources to do what God is calling us to do. It's amazing once you get out there. And that is why, if you'll turn to Genesis 13:4, that is why it's only after Abraham is out there that God says these words. These are incredible words if you compare them to Genesis 12:1-4. The Lord God said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, after he had pitched his tents towards Sodom, now it's going to come into view. You see, he's stepped out. Now the issue of the place and the people are going to come into view. He says to Abraham, lift up your eyes from where you are and look to the north and to the south and the east and the west. All of the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. You have stepped out. We are here. Look at it with your own eyes. It wasn't material. It was solely by stepping out by faith. It's beyond anything you could have imagined. And then he goes on to say, and I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, your offspring could also be counted. Meaning, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and it is just going to be exponential. It is just going to be so far beyond anything you could have believed. Step out. Believe the unbelievable. Because this is God. And then he says, don't you love this? In verse 17, just go walk it. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land. It's yours. You got it. Now, of course, Abraham had to dwell in tents as a kind of a guest in the area for a long time. Abraham was seeking that city whose foundations were of God. But there you have it. He now knows it. But it's only after he's out there. First time I ever met with the staff of Highlands Presbyterian Church, I basically told them, there's two things you need to understand here. In the context of just walking with the Lord, being a PCA, Bible-believing church, etc. Number one is that we're going to have to live out the gospel on the second floor. That's where all the offices are. And if we can't live out the gospel on the second floor, including repentance, including working out our issues and blessing one another, then I have no right to stand behind the pulpit and tell the congregation to do the same. And if you don't want to do that, you can't work here. The second thing is, I'm calling you to an adventure of faith. And I used a military idea to help convey this. You know, when you're in a battle, like here's your side and here's the battlefield. I'll oversimplify this, and here's the enemy, and you know the battle's going to happen. Of course, you make plans for a battle, right? Are those the plans that actually win the battle? No. What's the goal in the battle? The goal is to meet the enemy and drive the enemy off the field and claim the real estate. And the way you do that is you make an initial plan. You get with your colonels. You get with your people. And you say, look, here's what we're going to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And there's a forward rendezvous point out on that battlefield. And you must be there. And when you have done what you're supposed to do, when you've engaged the enemy, we will meet up and the battlefield will look differently at that point. It is at that forward rendezvous point, once you're out there, that you really see now what needs to happen now to drive the enemy off the field. I said, look, God is calling you, and you in your specific areas of ministry to trust Him, to give it all you've got with all your heart, to love the Lord your God and serve Him. And we need for you to meet us out at a forward rendezvous point. And it'll be exciting to see what resources come at that forward rendezvous point and what God wants to do and what will need to happen. And you know what? They got it. That was an exciting day for us. And I have seen through God's providence that this has certainly been the case. And what happens is that at that forward place, you know, you stepped out, you're able to believe the unbelievable. You're able to now see it, make changes, and say, oh man, this is what God wants, you see. Isn't this exciting? This is what we're called to. But I'd like for you to see the key words in this passage. The key words in this passage are not leave. The key words in this passage are I will. Six times in Genesis 12, 1 through 4, God says, I will. I will. Leave your country, your people and your father's household, and go to the land. I will show it to you. I will make a great nation out of you. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Abraham, you leave, and I will. Remember, faith is the substance. It is the word of God. It is the evidence on the front end. Isn't that great? You say, well, I don't know if I'm going to have it. Listen, you obey, I will. I could just say that to myself all day long. Because faith is like that. God calls and God provides. But the just will live by faith. God is still saying to us, you step out, and I will. And trusting Him today, right here in your preparation, whatever ministries you might be involved in or will be involved in the future, trusting Him today will put you in a better place to believe and see and receive greater things from Him in the future. And that's not just for you. That is for the sake of His name. That is for the sake of His kingdom and His glory. And we are caught up in this bigger story, this bigger picture. So step out. Believe the unbelievable. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to give you land. And lastly, bless the world. It's not just for you, Abraham. It's for the world. And of course, this is where we, reading back from the New Testament to Genesis 12, this is where the larger meaning of this passage becomes so beautifully clear to us, that out of Abraham would not only come a distinct nation in a distinct place, but the Savior of the world. I mean, that's what this is about, isn't it? This is the covenant of grace, is it not? The covenant with Abraham, that part of the covenant of grace. It is 12, 15, it is 17. And listen, this we're going to get out there because God wants to make a nation, and He wants to make a nation in this place. And out of this place, He is going to bring forth the Savior of the world. Genesis 12, 2, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will bless, curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And the New Testament keeps referring to the Gentiles being in view in the book of Romans and Galatians as it looks backwards on Abraham and faith and what that was about. This is one of the places in the Old Testament that you might call, I know it's a stretch, the, a great commission of the Old Testament? Yes? I'm looking at my Old Testament friend here. Because this is about Jesus, first and foremost. That's what all this is, where all this is going, coming from Abraham's family and nation in that place. But you know, I think this morning I'd like to encourage you that there's a dimension that this is also about a call to Abraham by God through his word to Abraham to believe and to step out there so all that will happen. Now, if you don't want to obey God, I certainly don't want to put on your shoulders that the will of God and the redemptive history is going to be thwarted. Let me just put your mind at ease. God will never be thwarted, and his love can never be stopped. He'll just find somebody else. Let me say that again. He'll just find somebody else. I know, I believe that you love the Lord, the same God that called Abraham. I believe that you love him and that you want to walk in him and that you want to grow in him, that you want to preach Christ, you want to preach the whole counsel of God, you want to love his people. I believe that you want to be in the context of his church and for the church to be a blessing to the world, even out to places in the Northwest. I believe that about you, but I want to challenge you this morning to see the connection between breaking through personal barriers of faith and blessing the world. Stepping out so that we are able to believe the unbelievable. So that God can lengthen the tent peg, so that God can lead us more into his will, which is probably different than we would have seen at a forward rendezvous point where God really wants to open it up, folks. And he really wants us to believe the unbelievable so that the world will be blessed through the ministry of the gospel, even through you. And even through people like me. Step out, believe the unbelievable, bless the world. Let's pray.